Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee, kurup, guten tag, half a day, ciao, wivi, va, kat, bang, jai, janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison, killitary industrial core poor nation, in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy mocracy criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where corpse is the preferred cuisine of the sophisticated palate. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and there is no business like vegan show business, like no business I know. Wow, could this have been the busiest week of my vegan show business life? I mean, almost not enough time to even go to the baño, you know, but, well, that's something vegans actually have to always include on the schedule, you know, vegan food, fiber, you know, studies do show that vegans are number one at number two, which is healthy, actually. Nice to get the toxins out of the body. You know, meat, no fiber. And meat eaters, you know, often saying, well, they only go to the baño once every few days, or some people say once a week. Well, no wonder everyone's, you know, going around ready to explode. No wonder we're a society, you know, such a violent society, you know, just wanting to drop missiles everywhere. But vegans, nope, we just want to know where the nearest, closest bathroom, cleanest bathroom is. Okay, and along with that, on my vegan schedule this past week, whew, wow, what a week, you know, right? This weekend, it's the Animal Rights Conference, AR 2011. I'm at the Westin LAX Hotel, you know, that's my schedule from this past Friday to this coming Monday. Go Vegan Radio is a sponsor, honored to be a sponsor of the Animal Rights Conference. I have a booth, and I have a great raffle going on, restaurant gift certificates all this weekend. You know, have to raise the money to pay the radio station. So I'm also speaking on Sunday. You can check it all out at ar2011.org, ar2011.org. Well, this past Wednesday, I did one of my favorite things. We talked about the baño already, right? No, I went to the grand opening of yet another loving hut. This one in Claremont, California. I've been to the grand openings of so many loving huts, both in Northern California and Southern California. I mean, I just love it. I mean, every time another one opens up, it's not just because, you know, it's the free food, huh? I mean, to me, each time it's like a flower coming up through the concrete, you know? Here's where you can make that choice. You can go and eat here and make that choice to eat delicious, nutritious, cruelty-free food, healthy food, you know, that's nonviolent, and the key to saving animals and the environment and human health. It's a beautiful little place there, the Loving Hut in Claremont. You know, go in and thank Lawrence for opening it up. You know, he's also responsible for the Loving Hut in the Brea Mall, giving shopaholics a really important choice also. So I just wish the grand opening weren't this past Wednesday, because I had to eat and run over to the Staples Center with my trusty megaphone in hand to try to help educate the public about attending Ringling Brothers' animal torture show. And thankfully, there were 500 people there to protest. 500 heroes who came out to say Ringling Brothers is not welcome in Los Angeles, that animal abuse is not entertaining. You know, mommy, daddy, why are you taking me to a show that hurts animals? I like Ringling Brothers. I love animals. Why are you taking me to Ringling Brothers? Can't we go to the movies or go bowling or something, huh? You know, so it's pretty amazing. And what a difference a few years make. Also, you know, some years back in Los Angeles, I was arrested for doing the very same thing, talking about the circus on my megaphone. But this past week, the cops were my best audience, actually. I checked them out. They were actually laughing, and I'm sure they were laughing with me and not at me, as they usually do. You know, because sometimes the truth can be entertaining. You know, I only tell the truth on the megaphone and on the microphone, too, as I see it. And, you know, when I see a nice couple on a date going to the circus, I just ask the couple to consider, well, you know, what does that say about your date, huh? Hey, you know, honey, I don't care. I'm someone who doesn't care about anyone or anything. Isn't that going to impress a date if you go out? You know, I mean, that's the statement you make if you're attending the circus, you know? I'm insensitive. I enjoy the pain of others. Can I call you again for another date? Also, another truth on the megaphone this year. Last year, I used the megaphone in Anaheim at the opening there, the Honda Center, and that's coming up in a few days again. I expect maybe there could be a similar result that hasn't been resolved in Anaheim, you know, where I could be arrested again. And when I was arrested last year, Brian Monell was videotaping me, and the police actually attacked him there. It was quite brutal. But what came of the whole episode is that the police, the Anaheim police, have now classified the bullhook, what's used to train elephants, the bullhook, large wooden hook with a large wooden stick with a metal hook on the end of it. That's the bullhook. The Anaheim Police Department has classified that as a deadly weapon. So, you know, when you go to the circus, you're actually watching animals who are trained with deadly weapons. And, you know, how entertaining can that be, right? No business like vegan show business, huh? So, you know, with the megaphone, as it goes, well, you know, I mean, in vaudeville, you know, you get the hook, you know, or you get booed off the stage. On TV, you get insulted by America's Got Talent. Is that what the name of the show is, by the guy who replaced Larry King? But in vegan show business, they take you off in handcuffs, and getting the hook means something totally different, if you ask Mr. Brian Monell, who was the victim last year. Anyway, so no business like vegan show business. Yeah, I had to break away from the circus protest this past week to do an interview on Vegan World Radio, which you can hear if you go to the kpft.org archive. It's the June 20th Vegan World Radio program, and I was the guest on the show to discuss, well, the situation with the HSUS agreement with the egg-producing chicken killers. And, oh, what a week also, huh? I'm all over Facebook. You can go to my wall to see the whole controversy. I wrote something called Vegan versus Vegetarian. Maybe I'll try to get to it maybe later in the program. I know I can't get to it now, but, you know, this is the Animal Liberation Show, and, you know, the goal of animal rights, you know, should be liberation. You know, where the goal of HSUS, I don't know, which elected itself to decide what degree of horrific torture is acceptable. So HSUS and the egg industry, seal it with a kiss. You can hear my interview on KPFT all about this. The new wonderful improvements for chickens, you know, and that will happen in 18 years, maybe. And the Humane Society of the United States comes up with, what's the solution, really, for the suffering of chickens? Why, it is furniture. Yeah, that's how, you know, the HSUS interpreted the screams of chickens. They're saying, we want furniture. We want furniture. And HSUS, the self-elected representative of chickens, says, let there be furniture. Let there be a stick for a perch. You know, it's not quite a couch, but a perch, a stick for a perch. Let there be a few plastic strips with sand or wood chips. And, you know, and the animal rights world says, yes, Yes, HSUS, you are right. Chickens need furniture. Chickens need furniture. That's the new cry. That's the new chant. Here, let me send you even bigger donations. Oh, you're so much smarter than I am to know that chickens need furniture, HSUS. And Bob Linden, how dare you be so divisive of the animal rights movement, always criticizing HSUS that way. Surely you can't find anything negative to say about furniture for chickens, can you? Well, once again, I have to apologize to the animal rights movement for being divisive, Really, I shouldn't, because HSUS isn't part of the animal rights movement. It's more like McDonald's or Cargill. But okay, anyway, just on these points alone, on chicken furniture. Okay, they get a stick for a perch, and it'll be covered with poop in no time. I mean, so who's going to pay to clean the perches for 300 million chickens? Is there a budget for that? Oh, and that little sandbox, or, you know, it's a little, you know, the plastic strips with a little bit of sand or wood shavings in there. Oh, by the way, is that meant to be the bathing area or the pecking area? I'm not sure. But anyway, in any case, stirring up the sand will create an even more toxic environment for the poor chickens who are choking on ammonia anyway. So, okay, sorry, I just can't get into the furniture for chickens movement. You know, I mean, if you're into that, keep sending HSUS $120 million a year. Hey, you know, with that kind of money, though, you know, you'd think Frank Perdue could be, you know, shopping at Levitt's for the chickens, yeah? Or perhaps you'd like to support a true animal liberation cause and donate to Go Vegan Radio so we can be on all the radio stations that would want to carry us. You know, we're on San Francisco, Portland. We can be on in New York and Chicago and Los Angeles, Seattle, if we had the money. But I don't know, maybe you want to send it to the chicken furniture movement. On this show, it's all about animal liberation. We want to open up all the cages. We don't want to have new kinds of cages with furniture. Anyway, let's celebrate liberation today, okay? We have Jenny Brown on the show from the Woodstock Farm Animal Sanctuary. We're going to celebrate the story of Kaylee, a cow who ran for her life and now lives happily ever after. And also on today's program, we have Gary Smith with the Beagle Freedom Project. Yes, we have to celebrate the liberation of beagles, but we also have to recognize how much torture that breed has to endure. So may all the doors of all the cages be open. You know, what do we want? Animal liberation. When do we want it? Now. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. For archives and podcasts and to donate online, you can go to goveganradio.com.
Meat cuts life short. I don't want my life cut short or the animals.
New from Earth Balance, organic coconut spread. Great for baking and cooking instead of butter. Earth Balance, organic coconut spread. Bake, saute, stir fry with this creamy, smooth, vegan delight. Made with extra virgin coconut oil. Gluten-free, non-dairy, non-GMO, zero cholesterol. Your special ingredient for delicious vegan cooking and baking, Earth Balance, organic coconut spread. Also new from Earth Balance, spread the joy, dollop the deliciousness of Mindful Mayo dressing and sandwich spread in three creamy smooth varieties, original, olive oil, and organic. Gluten-free, non-GMO, and vegan, new Mindful Mayo from Earth Balance. Visit madejustright.com for recipes and tips, and also enjoy Earth Balance buttery spreads, shortenings, nut butters, and soy milk. Thanks, Earth Balance, for making all of your products vegan. The clock is ticking for planet Earth in crisis. Climate change, rising oceans, melting glaciers, deforestation, floods, fires, tornadoes, loss of biodiversity, hunger, disease, poverty. What do we do? Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai, From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer. She and her organization have been recognized by world, national, and state leaders for their noble dedication to disaster relief. What is the connection between planetary disaster and meat and dairy consumption? Read From Crisis to Peace, The Organic Vegan Way is the Answer, from Supreme Master Ching Hai. What must we ask of our local and global leaders at this time of crisis? What must we ask of ourselves to save the planet? How do we go from crisis to peace? Read From Crisis to Peace. Read it for free at crisistopeace.org. That's crisis, the number two, peace.org. Read it for free. For more on the environment, compassion for animals, improved human health, and plenty of free vegan cooking lessons, visit suprememastertv.com. Read the new book from Supreme Master Ching Hai at crisistopeace.org. Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world. Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Made from local organic GMO-free ingredients. Sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soup, salad, sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dinner 5 to 9. Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798. VegetarianHouse.us.
McDonald's, yuck.
By the time
it's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, vegan, animal liberation, media infiltration, now broadcasting for over 10 years, as heard on Air America, and this is radio self-syndication for the animals, and we can only do this with your support. We're on progressive talk radio stations, such as Green 960 San Francisco, 620 AM KPOJ Portland, and, you know, we could be on many other stations, Los Angeles, Seattle, Chicago, and New York. All want to run the program, but we have to pay for the airtime. You can help with a tax-deductible donation. You make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California 94147, or donate online at goveganradio.com, where you find hundreds of archives. And we are happy to serve you here for liberty and justice for all vegan Americans today. Let us celebrate liberty, and maybe on a smaller scale than we'd like, but today we have the return of Jenny Brown, who is the co-founder of the Woodstock Farm Animal Sanctuary in Woodstock, New York. And yes, I attended the original Woodstock, even though I'm really not old enough to have been there, and she previously worked in the entertainment industry as a producer and director, and people who love animals often think, well, I want to open up a sanctuary. And Jenny, how did it happen to you, and welcome back. It's been many years since you've been on, but it's great to have you back.
Well, thank you so much. I'm happy to be on, and it has been a while. I think the last I spoke with you was when we were first starting the sanctuary. And I'm not even sure why we spoke. Maybe it was just my beginning the sanctuary. But the way I came about it was film school in the early 90s in Chicago, meeting someone from PETA, doing a video project for them, documenting a fur march that they were doing, becoming friends with the person from PETA, and that leading to doing some undercover video work. And it wasn't until about 10 years later that I went undercover again. I had moved through film and television production, bouncing around from Louisville and Chicago and Boston. But it was Farm Sanctuary, receiving something in the mail from Farm Sanctuary and being very intrigued about an organization that was focused on farmed animals, which I now know are the most exploited and abused animals, beings on the planet, rather. And I did some undercover work for them in Texas, traveled for a week documenting downed animals at stockyards and scheduled auctions. And it was that week that really changed my life. And I went on to do the biggest job of my career right after that. I produced and directed a show for Discovery Channel. But, you know, really thinking in my career that I was where I wanted to be, but I couldn't get the images out of my head from what I had seen during that 1 week. And I chose to leave my life and career in Boston and moved out to Farm Sanctuary, where I worked for a year to learn the ropes of starting my own sanctuary. And in agreement, I had done, my husband and I, my husband's a film editor, we had done some video work for them and produced a couple of films. And in exchange, they allowed me to live and work there to really understand what I was getting myself into and to learn how to properly care for farm animals. And it was that essential experience that gave me the confidence to buy a 23-acre plot in Woodstock, New York, just 2 hours north of New York City, and open our doors to animals that are coming from abuse, neglect, abandonment, many who have escaped live kill markets down in New York City. And just recently, which I know we're going to be speaking about, we took in a cow that has since been named Kaylee, who escaped from a halal slaughterhouse, which is a slaughterhouse that caters to Muslim customers, customers who require their meat to be butchered in a certain way, or animals to be butchered in a certain way. And she just recently arrived here at the sanctuary. We take in many animals. We've helped hundreds of animals, many who have come through our door, and many others whom we have been taken a role in their rescue and placed them at loving homes, because we're only able to take so many animals. And right now we have close to 200 cows, pigs, goats, sheep, chickens, roosters, turkeys, ducks, geese, and a few rabbits.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Wonderful that you would do that. And what year did the Woodstock Farm Animal Sanctuary start then?
We bought the property in 2004, started the 501c3 that year, and through tabling at any kind of festival, going to conferences, holding some fundraisers, we were able, oh, and our wedding was our first ever fundraiser, our wedding in what was now a beautiful goat pasture. That was our wedding here at the house, and that was our first fundraiser, and we literally built the entire sanctuary from scratch. Mm. The only thing that existed on the property was 23 acres, was a house, and 23 mostly open acres, and that's how it all began. We opened our doors in 2006, and we've been kicking some animal rescuing and advocating on behalf of farm animals' butt.
That is great. It was an interesting sentence, too, and it's great.
A long run-on. That was a long run-on.
but what? And actually, because you're in striking distance of New York City, you've been you're a popular destination for people in New York, and you've become really supported by people like Chrissy Hynde and Moby, and you had a concert that was like Woodstock there.
Right here at the sanctuary. Unfortunately, I'm not sure we're going to be able to do it again with some complaints from neighbors, but if we don't hold them here at the farm, we will continue to hold them in other venues in support of our work and raising awareness and in raising necessary funds to continue our work.
Well, I was at the original Woodstock, believe it or not, and I think I'm the only one who actually bought a ticket. You know, there were no fences. Everybody walked in. I'm by the gate going, no, that's not fair. I have a ticket. You can't go in. But
now your more peaceful mind, you're happy that everybody got in, I'm sure.
I don't think I was vegan then. Now, of course, everybody's welcome. Here, have my ticket, person who doesn't have the money, the $7.50. So, yeah, that would have been it. So we do want to celebrate Kaylee's freedom, and exactly what happened with her. You know, everybody roots for a cow who escapes the slaughterhouse, and later on the show we'll talk about rescued beagles from vivisection. But then people go and have a hamburger at McDonald's, or they see birds being rescued, and then they go for a bucket of chicken at KFC. How did Kaylee escape? I mean, she actually ran for her life, didn't she, as all of the animals want to do?
Absolutely, and it is a strange thing that when one animal makes a break for it and runs for their life, because we've seen this time and time again with rescues we've done in New York City, where there are an average of 100 live kill markets down there, and you would pass them and think it's any sort of storefront. You know, there might be a crude sign above that says kosher or halal or fresh poultry, but you can walk into these places, and as many people in different cultures do, and select the animal you'd like to have butchered and taken home and packaged and taken home that night. You go in for fresh meat, or meat that has been, again, killed according to your religious custom. And so the issue with Kaylee was no different. She had been, she was sold at an auction to this halal slaughterhouse, and she was being transported there, and when she was being transitioned, let off the truck, and into the holding pen, she saw an opportunity, and she made a break for it. And she actually ran through the streets with cop cars chasing her for almost an hour until they were finally able to catch her, and somehow with two dog leashes tied together, harnessed her and brought her back to the sink, to the slaughterhouse, unfortunately. And this slaughterhouse was known for having animals escaped, and so I'm not sure how it happened that they realized that that's where she came from. But anyway, she was brought back. By that time, she was all over the news, and activists in the area started calling the slaughterhouse and begging for her life. One activist contacted them and offered to pay for her, which is not something that we condone. We don't want people going out and purchasing animals to save their life, because those people are going to put that, they're just going to replace that animal, and it's going to enable them to continue the dirty work that they're doing. But Mary Ann is her name. She became very dead set on getting Kaylee out of there. The story really touched her heart. She's an attorney and an animal activist, and so she took it upon herself to start wheeling and dealing to get her out of there. Long story short, it turns out that slaughterhouses, this particular slaughterhouse, wasn't permitted to sell live animals, and so basically she was trying to buy time, trying to figure out what to do. The Islamic Society of Philadelphia ended up getting involved, thanks to another wonderful activist named Lisa Katz, and they were able to contact the slaughterhouse store owner and then worked with the Department of Agriculture and even the governor of Pennsylvania, who pardoned her and allowed her to come here to live out the rest of her life at a sanctuary. So it got very involved with a number of parties talking.
Wow, you have the governor, you have the Council on American Islamic Relations. You have,
yes.
I mean, all this for the freedom of one cow, and we want to free them all. Wow, that's going to be a lot of work.
So, again, it's a strange thing where people, that animal when he or she escapes, becomes an individual. People see them running for their life. I think that that people feel like these animals somehow are special, that they have maybe a higher intelligence or something that led them to get the heck out of there and to make a break for it. But any animal, when faced with fear, would run away. And I know that when Kaylee was being unloaded in there, the smell and the hooks and the blood and the terrified animals, that energy emanating from this place, she just bolted. And wouldn't anyone?
Right. Wouldn't we all? And the thing is, if we would recognize that all the animals are individuals, you know, every animal is a Kaylee. They're just killed in such numbers we can't even imagine, you know, by the billions. But they're killed by the billions one at a time, one Kaylee at a time.
Each individual, each with likes and dislikes and a personality and a story, and each as someone who could have had a name and an identity had we have allowed them to have that.
Mm-hmm. We have about half a minute left, and so you know, whatever we haven't covered that you'd like to, that would be great. But you know, we celebrate Kaylee, and we want to free them all, and the way to do that is to go vegan and not have the consumer demand.
And Kaylee's presence here at the sanctuary and being such a great ambassador for animals will definitely help to change hearts and minds. Like all the animals that we have here, they are the great ambassadors for this cause. We're such a disconnected society that sanctuaries have this unique opportunity to put people face to face with animals they only know as food, and many times that's all it takes. And we're on the front lines advocating on behalf of farm animals everywhere and rescuing as many as we can.
Jenny Brown,
and visit.
Yeah, the website.
WoodstockSanctuary.org, or you can use WoodstockFarm.org. But thank you so much for having me on, Bob. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much, Jenny. Great to have you, and give Kaylee a hug for us.
Thanks so much.
Elephants don't belong in zoos. Please let them go to a sanctuary.
VeganEssentials.com, your award-winning online vegan superstore with over 1,200 different all-vegan products in stock. From food to footwear, personal care to household items, it's all there at VeganEssentials.com. Enter GVR for Go Vegan Radio in the coupon box for your 10% discount on all orders over $50. Limited time only, VeganEssentials.com. Call 866-88-VEGAN, vegan owned and operated, VeganEssentials.com. Enter GVR in the coupon box for 10% off now. What you want is at VeganEssentials.com. Here's the burger that makes you feel as good as sunshine. It's Sunshine Burger, organic, vegan, and gluten-free, made from simple, wholesome ingredients, raw, ground, organic sunflower seeds, organic grains, organic vegetables, and sea salt. Sunshine Burger. Try the original Garden Herb, Barbecue, and Southwest Veggie Burgers, Falafel Patty, and Hemp Fest Breakfast Patty in the frozen section of your natural market. Already oven-baked and browned, just reheat and serve organic, vegan, gluten-free Sunshine Burger. Visit sunshineburger.com. Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro in Portland is so popular, it's had to expand its seating. Find out for yourself why Sweet Lemon rates such rave reviews for its 100% vegan, Asian, and American fusion creative cuisine. Some dishes found nowhere else. See the menu at sweetlemonveggiebistro.com. Catering trays, vegan cakes, and delivery are available. Sweet Lemon in the Bethany Village Center, 4888 Northwest Bethany Boulevard. Call 503-617-1419. Sweet Lemon Vegan Bistro.
Don't want bird flu? Maybe you shouldn't eat birds. A chicken is a bird.
Mm. We continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, govegan.radio.com. Oh, a quick pledge drive here. We need money to pay for airtime every week. And you can make a tax-deductible donation. You make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. You can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email me, bob@goveganradio.com, or you call 818-623-6477. And for archives and podcasts, and to donate online, it is goveganradio.com. And today we are, we've been the program now for 10 years on air as Animal Liberation Media Infiltration, and today I want to celebrate the liberation. You heard earlier on today's program the story of Kaylee, a cow now living happily ever after at Woodstock Farm Animal Sanctuary in New York. More liberation. I need more liberation to make me feel better. So today we're going to talk to Gary Smith, who's co-founder of Evolotus, a PR agency specializing in animal protection, documentary films, vegan foods, health and wellness, nonprofits, and socially beneficial companies. Gary blogs at thethinkingvegan.com and has written for Mother Nature Network and Elephant Journal. And Gary is one of the rescuers with the Beagle Freedom Project, a mission of Army, Animal Rescue, Media, and Education. And welcome to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Gary, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. Well, Gary, the first love of my life when I was 9 years old was an adorable, playful beagle named Zsa Zsa. And then years later, it breaks my heart to learn that beagles are, you know, the breed of choice for animal experimentation. So before you make me happy with a happy ending, make me a little more miserable and tell me why beagles have it so rough.
Sure. Well, the first thing I want to say is, what you know, in starting this organization, what we learned is that about 75,000 dogs are being used in laboratories every year in the United States. The large majority are beagles, and mostly beagles are being used because of their kind, docile, forgiving nature. They also are pretty small and don't take a lot of food and don't take a lot of space and are kind of easy to manipulate. So in a way, all the things that make beagles such a wonderful dog is what makes them such a perfect choice, for these animal testing labs.
Well, that's disgusting. And what kind of experiments must they endure?
From our research, they are used for everything from pharmaceutical and medical to household products to cosmetics. You know, they are basically used in every aspect of animal testing.
Mm. Because they're adorable and lovable, they have to suffer as a result. That's really horrible. So tell us about the Beagle Freedom Project, how that began.
Sure. The Beagle Freedom Project was started in late December of 2010 by Shannon Keith, animal rights attorney and filmmaker. And Shannon, who had been working, started Army back in 2004 and is very well known within the dog and cat rescue community, got a call from a liaison basically telling her that she would have access to two rescue beagles from a laboratory, but Shannon basically had 24 hours to get out there to save the dogs. So, of course, Shannon flew out there, rented a car, drove them back to L.A., and after having that experience, she thought, wouldn't this just be a great way to try and see if we can start an organization, see how many beagles we can actually save, through this and really just educate the public.
Mm-hmm. So initially, Shannon was contacted knowing that beagles were being released from a laboratory. Is that common, or what happened?
No, that is totally uncommon for a few reasons. I mean, one, the difficult part about vivisection, as you know, is it's really difficult to get real information. Whether it's university labs, whether it's private testing labs, they do not share information. They particularly do not share information about the types of animals that most people would be horrified if they knew they were being tested on. So whether it's the cats, the dogs, the non-human primates, et cetera. So generally, most of these dogs are basically killed during whatever experiments they're working on. and then they're usually just killed at the end for two reasons. One is because they're incredibly cheap. You know, they're working directly with breeders who breed them in, you know, mass amounts. So when you're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry, you know, spending $400 or $500 per dog is nothing. And secondarily, they don't want to release these dogs because then you have the chance of the public basically finding out that they're doing experimentations on, you know, man's best friend.
Mm-hmm. And again, the kind of experiments, I mean, they're pouring all sorts of chemicals down their throats, and very invasive, very painful, and of course with no good results, especially related to medical research.
I was going to say, you know, in our research, I believe it's 92 out of 100 drugs that make it through animal testing that then move on to human testing fail. So you're talking about a 92% failure rate. So I can't think of any industry in the world that would continue to support something with that high of a failure rate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you're talking about, I believe it's about $12 billion a year the United States government spends on animal testing every single year.
Mm-hmm. So and you look at all those drugs that get recalled over time, all the Vioxes and Celebrexes of the world. Well, they were tested on animals, weren't they? And yet they become human tragedies. So
yeah, and one of the interesting things that I think, you know, your listeners, if they don't know this, is that, you know, a large majority of all the testing is being done for household goods, for lawn care, for cosmetics. You know, most people, let's put it this way, most people believe this, and that's because the industry puts this out, is that, you know, they're basically testing on rats and mice, and that they're testing for life-saving drugs and life-saving, you know, therapies, which we know is A, not true, you know, and B, we know that the majority, again, are being tested on products that, which is great, is that the consumer actually has the power to stop most of this testing.
Mm-hmm. How?
Well, if you actually go on the BeagleFreedomProject.org on the website, we have a list of a whole bunch of different organizations. So we list the organizations who, you know, the ones that do not do animal testing, like the animal charities. We have a list of all the companies that do test on animals so that you can avoid them. We have a list of companies who do not test on animals.
So the idea, again, you know, it's all related to consumer demand, and you should be buying cruelty-free and finding out what those products are. But most guilty at the top of the list, you don't want to buy any products from Procter & Gamble, for sure.
Yeah, and you know, and here's, again, one of the things that's really positive about in terms of what consumers can do. 90% of the cosmetics and personal care products are not being tested on animals. So you're basically talking about only 10% of the industry is doing this. You know, and then I would kind of take the next further step, which is, you know, all pharmaceutical and over-the-counter drugs have to be, by law, tested on animals. So one of the best ways that we can hopefully start cutting back on that is by going vegan, since most of these products are basically being tested on the animals to deal with hypertension, cholesterol, heart disease, stroke, diabetes, et cetera, which we all know are basically caused by eating animal products.
Right. So basically, as I've mentioned on the show before, the pharmaceutical industry basically exists to deal with meat and dairy consumption diseases.
Right.
So, you know, the cure is in going vegan, not in the next drug that comes along that was tested on beagles.
I was going to say one of the other sad things is, you know, what also happens within the pharmaceutical industry is once a drug once a drug expires, basically, and then there's a cheap generic on the market, these large pharmaceutical companies basically change the coating, change one little minor, you know, molecule within the drug, and then, of course, it has to go through animal testing all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just basically this huge scam of, you know, basically killing hundreds of millions of animals every single year purely for greed and profit.
Greed and profit, and so many of the experiments are repetitive. They duplicate previous
right.
experiments, but I think it's that they have to spend all the research money every year. They just have to spend those billions, you know, whether the experiments have merit or not. And if they are experiments on animals, they have no merit. And we are not just for the beagles, but we are for the mice and rats also.
Sure.
Who are, and
you know, one of the other things that you learn in this is, you know, in terms of that $12 billion, that's not just going to contract labs and scientists, that's going to breeders, security companies, animal food companies, I mean, so many different people are profiting from this industry.
Right, the people who make restraints for animals. How do they sleep at night, you know, making those kinds of products? You know, I breed beagles for experimentation. You know, like, wow, how do you sleep at night?
Yeah, to make this even, like, more pathetic and sad is, you know, every one of these beagles has basically had their vocal cords cut by the breeder because, you know, you don't want these beagles to be crying in loneliness or to make the, you know, the people who are torturing them uncomfortable. They all basically have a tattoo. None of them have a name. So they all basically have, you know, a federal ID number. That's how they're identified, which is just horribly sad and pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and really they are things. They're property. They're not treated as, you know, individual beings that they are.
And each one is the Zsa Zsa whom I loved when I was 9 years old. They're all...
Yeah, and my wife and I actually... accidentally fostered one of these beagles for about 5 weeks. And, you know, just seeing how unbelievably frightened, we named him Malcolm, how unbelievably frightened Malcolm was and how scared of just, like, the most simple sounds. And then the positive part to just see, like, how he became a real dog, you know, how he moved out of the space of just being completely afraid of everything, everybody, and beginning to really develop a personality. And, you know, by the fifth week, it just basically become, you know, an almost two-year-old puppy and started chewing and wanting to play with people and play with things. And it was just, like, exciting to see something like that happen. But at the end of the day, we all know that there's just, you know, post-traumatic stress. There's so many things that we just cannot relate to based on what these poor dogs have gone through.
Yeah, I don't know if we want him to develop a personality. Maybe a beagle-ality.
Right.
So, so were you there, like, when they were first given their freedom, and, you know, what was the scene like?
Well, there have been three rescues so far, and it's 14 beagles in total. The first two, which was kind of funny, because Shannon just sort of called up that night and said, oh, hey, I'm on my way back, and I have a couple of beagles from a lab. Do you want to come and meet them? And, of course, you know, as a vegan, as an animal rights activist, it's like, this is like a dream come true, so yes. So I didn't get to experience their first moments of, you know, freedom, but what was great is the 9 beagles that were rescued just last June, I went with Shannon, we drove all the way out to Northern California to pick them up and got to experience them, like, running around and touching grass for the first time and, you know, experiencing other dogs, really, for the first time in their lives, and it's just the most amazing, I can't even describe what an experience like that is. And Shannon did a really amazing little video on that on the Beagle Freedom Project website. You can see it, and it's just so incredible to see these dogs. I mean, it literally takes them 10 to 15 minutes before they come out of their cage because they're just so frightened. You know, they don't know what's going on. They've never been on grass, never been outside. Have no idea what's going on, and as far as we know, don't know if they've ever interacted with other dogs other than maybe seeing them go by in their cage.
All right, they have the barren cages, no love, and now things have changed for them, which I guess becomes a happy ending. We have about a minute left. Oh, what is the website? You mentioned that video is on the website?
Yeah, the website is beaglefreedomproject.org.
Okay. Oh, I want to see all beagles freed. I just love them. I'm horrified of the thought that they're tortured because they're so, you know, affectionate and adorable.
Yeah, I mean,
so.
You know, and again, what we were saying earlier, it's like what makes them such incredible little beings is what, unfortunately, is their downfall.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, you know, they're so perfect for laboratories because, I mean, literally, you know, we took Malcolm in to get spayed. I'm sorry, to get neutered. And the next day we had to bring him back for a quick checkup, and it's like nothing happened to him. He's running around like a happy dog inside the vet where, you know, 24 hours ago, you know, he had this pretty intense little operation. It's just like, that's like what's so incredible about these dogs.
Yeah, they're so loving and forgiving.
Sure.
We can learn so much from them. Just about out of time. So, again, Gary, I want to thank you for being involved with the Beagle Freedom Project and the great work you're doing with Shannon. It's beaglefreedomproject.org, beaglefreedomproject.org. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Bob. Really appreciate it.
Thanks. Talk again soon.
We don't eat chickens. We pet chickens.
You'll love Loving Hut, the fastest growing chain of vegan restaurants ever, now with over 200 worldwide. The first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford students and faculty have one at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. Visit lovinghut.us for the location near you, including three in San Francisco, Oak Ridge Mall in San Jose, and Elk Grove. You'll love Loving Hut. Visit lovinghut.us. Looking for a realtor with the ethics of a vegan and nearly three decades experience in Bay Area real estate? Meet Judith Brooks, REMAX Pioneer.
Thanks, Bob. I've been a vegan for almost as long as I've been a real estate broker. I got my license in 1983, and I've been a vegan for about 20 years, which is the best decision I ever made for myself and my family. It has done wonders improving my health. And now I'm proud to say I have three healthy vegan grandchildren.
Judith, in your profession as a realtor, you actually practice what you teach.
There are some great opportunities for people, and my motto is selling dreams, not just houses. So I love to work with people, but these are challenging economic times for others who are vulnerable to disreputable people with scams and schemes. I just want everyone to know I'm here to help.
Call Judith Brooks, REMAX Pioneer, 888-258-6854. That's 888-258-6854.
We got something for you who don't want meat. A natural soy product and a tasty treat. It's tofurkey. That's what I said, tofurkey. There's tofurkey roast deli slices too. They have tofurkey sausage, even jerky to chew. We admit the name is kind of quirky, but once you taste it, you'll love tofurkey, tofurkey. Come on, give it a try. It's tofurkey.
See us at tofurkey.com.
T-O-F-U-R-K-Y, tofurkey.
Wherever quality natural foods are sold.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Yes, it's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. We've been speaking about the Beagle Freedom Project on today's show, and there's a benefit for the Beagle Freedom Project, Saturday, August 6th. In North Hollywood, 1 to 6 p.m., vegan food trucks, bar, dancing, live DJ. The $10 at the door goes to the Beagle Freedom Project. To find out more, search on Facebook for the Summerlicious Vegan Shindig. That's the Summerlicious Vegan Shindig, and you can become my friend on Facebook. I know I messed up, so join either or both of the Bob Linden pages there. You know, one of them I'm wearing the Animal Lib t-shirt. The other is the picture with the four species, the species in the middle. And check out my wall for vegan versus vegetarian. Let me know what you think about that. And please, I ask that you consider making a donation to Go Vegan Radio. And instead of HSUS and its chicken furniture campaigns, huh? You've given HSUS $120 million a year, year after year, and the best it can come up with is chicken furniture. They haven't thought of the vegan thing yet. We have, and we can put your money to better use by promoting the most important message. The greatest action you can take for the animals is to go vegan. Help us keep going and growing. There are many more radio stations who want to broadcast this show. All we need is the money for the airtime. Now, give me $120 million. The world will be vegan within 6 months, or give it to anti-vegan HSUS. I'm sure they'll be very good at picking out the right furniture for chickens. I'm sure they'll spend millions on chicken furniture interior design and research on that, and they'll come up with mauve and beige mix and match color scheme for perches and wood chip boxes. I love it. Oh, I'm convincing myself to donate to HSUS. Not. I would write a check to Go Vegan Radio, mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California 94147, and for archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's goveganradio.com. Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. Don't miss Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday at 3 p.m. What do we want? Animal liberation. When do we want it? Now. This week we celebrate animal liberation. Hear the story of Kaylee, a cow destined for the slaughterhouse. She saw an opening. She made a run for it. Who wouldn't? But eventually she was recaptured and seemed doomed, but miraculously now lives happily ever after at the Woodstock Farm Animal Sanctuary in upstate New York. How did liberation of a cow involve the Council of Islamic Affairs and intervention by the governor of Pennsylvania? Well, we'll talk to Jenny Brown, founder of the Woodstock Farm Animal Sanctuary. And if you find this story of the liberation of one cow heartwarming, why not help liberate all cows who are just like Kaylee? Go vegan to liberate the cows and buy cruelty-free to liberate the beagles. Yes, beautiful, adorable, affectionate beagles. The first love in my life when I was 9 years old was a beagle named Zsa Zsa. Why are beagles the dog of choice for torture in cruel, painful, and lethal experimentation? We'll talk with Gary Smith, a rescuer with the Beagle Freedom Project. We'll talk about a group of beagles recently liberated. And if you like the idea of animal liberation, media infiltration, a vegan radio show, please support us with a tax-deductible donation. We purchase airtime every week, so when you contribute, you're also helping Progressive Talk Radio. Please make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. And you can also advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services. Email bob@goveganradio.com. Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden made possible in the Bay Area by Vegetarian House, world-class organic vegan dining in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara Street, and by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants, over 200 worldwide, the first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane, in Palo Alto at 165 University Avenue. There are three locations in San Francisco, also San Jose and Elk Grove. Visit lovinghut.us for a Bay Area location near you. If you're looking for a realtor with the ethics of a vegan and 30 years Bay Area real estate experience, contact Judith Brooks at REMAX, the letter J, B-R-O-O-K-S at remax.net. And for vegan events around the Bay Area, visit the website of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. It is sfvs.org. I'll be your best friend on Facebook. It's Bob Linden. Find me on Twitter as Go Vegan Radio. And for archives and podcasts and to make a tax-deductible donation online, please visit goveganradio.com.